This is the Trip Center.
Welcome back to the Trip Center. The Trip Center is here for wilderness canoe trippers to pick up advice and insight on planning canoe camping trips. It can seem like a lot of preparation, but we can't let the fear of the unknown keep us from getting outdoors. I'm your host, a canoe trip leader, Katie Tozer. Let's get out there. Hey, canoe trippers. We're going to try something a little bit different today because I put out a poll on our Twitter feed and got back advice that you guys are really looking for help planning routes. The best way I can do this is by explaining routes I've taken and know very well. So I feel like that'll be really valuable, and I want to thank everyone who took part in the survey for cluing me into this need. Today, we're going to be talking about a route in the Quetico Provincial Park in Ontario. I would highly recommend the route from French Lake to Beaver House. The entrance to French Lake is a nice one. It's right off Highway 11, and it's also the site of the Quetico Visitors Center. And there's a pretty large parking lot where buses can drop off trips and cars can be parked while you're out. This is a great place for newcomers to start because the staff at the Quetico will want to meet your group and go over some of the rules and guidelines. While I would definitely recommend sitting in on that session, I did cover similar material in an earlier episode called Knowing Where You're Going, Quetico Provincial Park. So let's do a broad technical overview of this route before diving into landscapes and details. I'd recommend doing a 7-day trip. If you have a faster group, there are places to add in a loop. I'll note those as we go through in detail. If you're not trying to make miles or you just don't have 7 days, you can make your whole trip a loop and go out from French and just turn back when you need to. So if you are taking 7 days, you'll be covering 6 lakes. The distance is about 50 miles, which is 80 kilometers. There are 3 portages. One of them is pretty large, 260 rods, or 4/5 of a mile. The route, starting in French, going to Beaver House, is east to west. You can reverse this if you'd rather go west to east and start in Beaver House. Wind comes from the west, so going from French to Beaver House, you're more likely to have headwinds than you would the other way. The Beaver House entrance is just a parking lot, really, and it's a bit harder to find than French Lake because it's not as close to the highway, so it's a long dirt road to get to this parking lot. Also, while it's technically not a portage, the distance from the parking lot at Beaver House to the water is pretty far as well, probably at least another 1/2 mile. So you might consider that in your calculations if you're starting at Beaver House. Broad overview of what's in between. You've got a beautiful mixture of skinny lakes, large lakes, a winding creek, a shallow creek, and then the portaging is really just a taste, but the 3 portages are all very different, so it's a great sampling of what portaging is like to get acquainted with those skills. There are also plenty of campsites. I've never felt crowded there or like I could see another campsite from across the water. However, there is at least 1 campsite in every lake, several in the large ones, and these campsites have a nice variety to them as well. Some of them have beaches and are low to the water. Some are granite rock. Some have altitude. Some are on islands. Some are on points. And some of them are tucked in a little more with some forest around them. The paddling is all flat water. Our typical days, and we're traveling with young campers, we would do maybe 8 to 10 kilometers a day, taking plenty of time to stop for water, make food, enjoy the scenery, nothing like the Voyager days from dusk to dawn. speaking of the region's history, we're going to take an early break and take a look back. In today's look back, I want to introduce you to pictographs, because you can find 28 in the Quetico Provincial Park. At least that's how many have been discovered so far. What is a pictograph? A pictograph is a picture that symbolizes a word. In canoe country, you would see images of canoers, men, moose, bears, birds, and fish. Pictographs are red in this part of the world. The color comes from minerals. Iron ore is believed to be the base of the color in the Quetico's pictographs, and it binds to the rock and persists through hundreds, maybe thousands of years, because the mineral is mixed with an agent like grease or fish oil before it's painted on. The age of these pictographs is not yet known, but we do know that the glaciers were melting 15,000 years ago, making it hospitable to humans. And the pictographs are further evidence, as if we needed any, that if the land could belong to anyone, it would belong to the Native American people. If there are pictographs along your route, do take the time to seek them out. Let's get into a little more detail about the landscape and terrain you'll be covering on this route from French to Beaver House. So earlier I mentioned that French Lake is relatively small. It's just over a mile wide all around, and you would be launching from the eastern bank where the visitor center and parking lot are. The way through the lake is in the southwest edge. There's a skinny little creek with lots of reeds springing up and lilies around there too, lily pads. And the creek winds and winds for a few kilometers until you emerge in Pickerel Lake. By contrast, Pickerel is huge, though it has tons of islands filling it up. And the first campsites are actually on the southeast shore, right outside the creek. This first option of campsites is actually a row of multiple campsites with beds of pine needles and tall, tall trees and beaches. So it's a long stretch of beach, you can't miss it, and there's tons of places for tents. One of the reasons this area is so large is because it's actually the end of a segment of Dawson's Trail, which begins up at the visitor center that you just paddled from. Dawson's Trail is named after an engineer, Simon Dawson, who was commissioned to find a new route east to west for the fur traders, I believe. Highway 11 actually runs along Dawson's Trail, and this is a bit of it as well. So once you pass this row of beach campsites, you really have left all of that civilization behind. After a couple kilometers further to the west, Pickerel really opens up, and you get this beautiful view of just wide, wide lake. From north to south, I think it's about 2 miles, and it's much longer east-west. Make sure you've got a good, detailed, up-to-date map you're taking with you, because some of these larger lakes, like Pickerel, have tons of campsites on tiny islands, and I'm pretty experienced on canoeing trips and finding my way, but still there are times where in Pickerel I ended up going between 2 islands I meant to go around. So you're not alone if you have to circle one of these small islands to find the campsite that your map has marked there. If I've got the time, I would definitely spend 2 or even 3 nights in Pickerel Lake. You can stay at a different campsite every night. There are so many. One of the large islands in Pickerel is named. It's called Emerald Island, but Don't be fooled by that into thinking that it's another row of campsites like the ones upon leaving French. There are actually no campsites on Emerald Island. And the reason for this is the altitude. It's pretty lush, full of trees, and there's no really good landing spot. So there's just no clearing for a campsite on the island. Your first option for adding a loop is to go up into Batchewong Lake. I have camped in here before when I felt like my trips are just rocking and maybe we're not ready to hit that portage yet. So we'll pop up into Batchewong. I believe there are two campsites there. And in the morning, we would then paddle on over just a few kilometers to get to our first portage from Pickerel into McAlpine. This is the longest portage of the trip. So for anyone with the option to consider going from Beaver House to French instead, I will point out that it's nice to have experienced portaging before you hit your longest one. However, that said, the portage is pretty straightforward. I don't know anyone who's gotten lost on it. It's not that narrow. There aren't really that many winding areas or any false leads. And the elevation is pretty low. So you're mostly flat the whole way through. It is nearly a mile long, though. So if carrying heavy packs and balancing a canoe on your shoulders are not the strengths of your trip mates, I would suggest planning a buddy system where you can pass off packs or have the leader plan a halfway point to stop and check on everyone behind them. There are lots of ways to make it work. When you do reach the end at McAlpine, you'll be on another long, wide beach. So there's tons of space to lay down your gear, reorganize your boats, and push them off into the water. I know that can be a stressor when you don't know what the end of a portage is going to look like, and it might be steep, slick rock, or one boat at a time, single file. If you are taking a route or trying a portage that you haven't heard a first-hand account of, I would definitely recommend walking the full trail yourself before carrying any real gear, just to see what it looks like on the other end. If you're tackling this portage at the end of a long day, or the portage just really wiped you out, there are campsites in McAlpine. Actually, just one campsite. It's right off the end of the portage, but it's very large. It's a nice spacious place to rest. When you're ready to leave McAlpine, you'll be paddling west again. And McAlpine is a really skinny lake. The point where that campsite is actually the only real point of altitude. So it's a beautiful place if you have time just to hike up there and take a look out on the water. The rest of the lake is pretty low and skinny. Rather than ending in another portage or a winding creek like French, McAlpine just kind of bleeds into Cassacoquag. It's another creek, but it's shallower. We've seen beavers here, and actually we once had to kind of bunny hop over a beaver dam. It created some fast water, which was fun to play in, but it really is just a creek. Once you pass the creek, you'll be in a large skinny lake called Cassacoquag. It's about 5 miles wide, and there are 3 campsites in the lake. The first is on the north shore, just on a bump that kind of juts out, so you still get some wind. The trees are tall and mature, so you can actually get a little hiking and walk in between them. That's the furthest east site, so the first one you'll pass. The next one in the middle is actually my favorite. It's on a small, long island, and it's all rock. There are some large boulders that can be really beautiful. And being out smack in the middle of this lake, that's where I've taken some of my best pictures of this backcountry. Even if there happens to be another group in Cassacoquag while you're there, you'll hardly be able to tell. Because it's so skinny, it has the coziness of a small lake, but since it's so long, you still have lots of privacy. If I had plenty of time and were just luxuriating in the backcountry, I would spend an extra night in Casa Coquag. When you are ready to leave, you'll be hitting your second portage of the trip. It looks piddly in comparison to the last one at just 75 rods, or a quarter of a mile, but it does have some altitude where the last one did not, so still plan to come at it with plenty of energy and forethought. On the other end, you will be in the park's namesake, Quetico Lake, a huge lake also filled with islands like Pickerel. This lake is where the pictographs can be found. I have personally stayed at three different campsites in Quetico, and I know there are a couple more. Unlike Pickerel, the named island in this lake, Eden Island, does have campsites. It actually has about three sites on it that you can choose from. This is another place where you can add an optional loop if you're trying to push yourselves a little bit farther. Quetico Lake opens up in the southeast to a channel that does connect to other smaller lakes, but those connectors can be really skinny creeks or really long portages. So depending on what you're up for, I might just loop through there to add some miles and then come straight back through the channel. The last campsite on Eden Island, the one furthest west on a tiny little point, is actually facing the last true portage of the trip. After the past two you've done, this one will feel like a breeze. It's relatively straightforward, low, though it is a little bit longer than the 75 rod from Casa Coquag to Quetico. On the other end, you're in Beaver House and your trip is almost complete. Beaver House has two campsites along the east coast, which is what you'll most likely stick to if you're taking out at Beaver House. Beaver House does stretch far further to the west if you'd still like to add more of a challenge and a few more miles. When you are ready to meet your ride or rejoin your vehicle, you'll be paddling straight north into the tip of the lake, and then, like I said, carrying your gear from actually a quite muddy landing, about half a mile to a mile to the parking lot. And at this point, you can congratulate your tripmates on a job well done and head on back to civilization. Thanks for listening to this first route recommendation. I hope to do several more like this. Please share your thoughts with us on our website, thetripcenter.wordpress.com, or on Twitter. Be happy to hear any and all feedback, and hope to see you next time. Take care out there.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.